Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
Welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast. My name is Dave and I'm the host for this podcast. And today, guess what, guys? We are wrapping up our second season of Warriors of Grace. Let me just give you a brief recap of where we've been in this season. In our first show, in our second season, we consider what it means to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. On our second show in this season, we consider what it means to put on the whole armor of God. On our third show, we looked at the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. On our fourth show, we consider the meaning of gospel shoes and the gospel of peace. On our fifth show, we consider the shield of faith and the flaming darts of Satan. And on our sixth show, we consider the helmet of salvation and the Word of God. And on our seventh show, we consider prayer and perseverance. And today, we're going to conclude this season looking at empowering love. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them to Ephesians 6, 18 through 24. I'll read it for you. Here's what it says. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak, so that you may also know how I am and what I'm doing. Tychius, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are, and he may encourage your hearts. Peace be to the brothers, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. This vision of spiritual warfare explains why there needs to be such an emphasis on the grace of God in our lives and in our ministries. We do not proclaim grace so that any will make light of sin or of our duty to resist it. We herald the grace of God to join with the Spirit in stirring up such a love for God in His people that when the day of evil comes, they will gladly put on the full armor He provides to fight for the purposes of God. And then despite the hardships and the pains that the people of God may face in battle, they will stand strong in the power of His might, as we've talked about. Paul prepares the Ephesians for these battles first by telling them they must stay alert for Satan's attacks in Ephesians 6:18. He then urges them to pray for Paul himself to remain strong in the battles he's facing in Ephesians 6:19 through 20. And by urging the Ephesians to pray for him, the apostle underscores that spiritual battles are not won by superior human knowledge or status or any such thing, but by the Holy Spirit. By humbly asking for personal prayer, he recruits the Ephesians for his own spiritual warfare and simultaneously communicates how much he values them in his life. Paul expresses his regard for others to both echo and reinforce the love of God that empowers us in spiritual battle. Tender words build strong hearts. Love recharges the will and changes it. And thus Paul's final words to the Ephesians are a flood of affection. Paul says he is sending Tychius, the dear brother and faithful servant of the Lord, in Ephesians 6:21, to the Ephesians in order to share news about how we are so that he may encourage you, Ephesians 6:22. And then the apostle communicates God's care for the Ephesians in Ephesians 6:23, which says, "Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." And finally, Paul communicates his love for them and his love for the churches of Ephesus mixed with the final challenge for them to maintain their love for Christ in Ephesians 6:24, which says, "Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love." And thus, in his parting words, Paul again uses the grace and the love of God to stimulate love and hope and zeal for his people in the battles that they face. You see, the message is clear. Love is powerful. You see, those who most grasp the grace of God are those who are made most willing and able to fight for Him. You know, at the head of the fruits of the Spirit, for example, is love. What does Paul tell the Corinthians? He says that faith and hope and love, but of these, love remains. You see, love to Paul is something significant. In 1 John 4:7, or 4:8, excuse me, we're told that God is love. You see, the power and the compassion of God is wrapped up in His character, in His revealed character. God has fully revealed Himself in the Word of God. He's revealed His love even in the garden, for example. He could have smite all Adam and Eve right then and there, and it would have been over, and he could have restarted right then and there. But He didn't. Instead, He issued covenant warnings and a covenant blessing. The blessing was, hey, look, the first gospel is going to come from the garden. God isn't done with humanity. Instead, He's going to send one who will crush the head of the serpent who caused you to disobey in the first place. That's good news. And what do we see? We see in the book of Revelation, this is fulfilled. Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has been buried. Christ has risen again. Christ has ascended in. And Christ is soon returning. And Revelation fulfills that picture. It fulfills that picture of the triumph of the one who crushed the head of the serpent in its fullness. In light of all this, you see, this need for a heart that beats for God, our God bids us to feed on the Word of God, to seek the Spirit of God that opens our minds to the knowledge of the Savior, that renews our will with a compelling love for Him. By God's Word and the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the knowledge and love of Him that gives us the desire to run with Him and to Him more than anything else in the world. The grace He pours into our hearts, it enables us to do what Ephesians 3:18 through 19 says, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You know, throughout this second season, we've talked a great deal about union with Christ, and I've used this example of a wedding ring. I'm going to go back to it as we wrap up this season. This wedding ring, it signifies that we have a covenant. We're in a covenant relationship with our spouse. And that covenant is between one man and one woman for life under God and for His glory. But there's no way, for example, for you to love your spouse apart from the love of God. It's just not. If you're struggling in your relationship in loving your spouse, guys, guess what? You got to pray and you got to ask the Lord, Lord, increase my love for my spouse. Because you know what? The problem is always a love thing. You know, as I record this, we are facing a worldwide pandemic. We're facing a worldwide pandemic with the coronavirus and those types of things. And I was just reminded of a situation I've mentioned before. My sister-in-law and my nephew live in our home. And just this morning, I was praying as I was waking up because they're going to be here all the time. And I was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, give me a heart of love for them. Help me not to be concerned about so much about all the things that I need to get done, but give me a heart of love. Help me to see them with a heart of love and service. Not as a distraction to my work or anything, but help me to love them. Help me to love you. Help me to love them. Help me to serve them well. I don't know where you're at in your walk with God today, but I do know this. If you're going to pray that kind of prayer, if you're going to pray for God to enlarge your heart with a heart of love for others, then guess what? God is going to use that. He's going to use that. He's going to enlarge your heart of love. And because Jesus in the Great Commandment, that's what he says. He wants us to love him and love others. You know where the battle line is most drawn in our lives as men? It's drawn in our marriages. It's drawn in our marriages. You know, you might think, well, my spouse has all these problems. And you know what? That might be true. You know, I don't know. But you know what? Here's the other thing I do know true. I've been married now for 13 years, and I know that the problem isn't with my spouse most often. The problem is with me. And if I'm not willing to admit my need for the grace of God first, and if I'm not willing to lead my wife in a loving way, then guess what? If my frustration is just so built up and just so, you know, festered in my soul, so that bitterness has taken place of love, then guess what? I know what time it is. It's time to repent. It's time to confess my need. It's time to get on my knees before the Lord. This is why availing ourselves of the means of grace and keeping short accounts with God is so vital in our lives. You know, we can say till we're blue in the face that we love the Lord and we love others. But that message, that conviction, it's most apparent. It's shown, it's demonstrated in our marriages. In our marriages. You know that the wedding, my wedding ring, it's significant. It signifies something. It signifies that I'm united to my wife in a covenant relationship for life. After I die, that ends. You know, Jesus is infinitely greater than marriage. My love for Jesus is greater than my love for my wife. And my love for my wife is great. I love my wife. She means the world to me. She's my best friend. She's my sweetheart. She's my princess. She means so, so very much to me. But Jesus means infinitely more to me. One day marriage is going to end, Jesus says. At death. I have no doubt in heaven, I'll still, my wife's a Christian. We'll still be best friends in heaven. But she won't be my wife. She won't be my wife. What you need to understand is, if you want to grow in your relationship with Christ, you need to understand that you've been united to something far greater than your wife or your spouse in Jesus. You have union with him, and you can commune with him. Jesus says in John 15 that apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is the vine. We are connected to him. We are united to him by faith in him. And he says there that he prunes those whom he loves. In Hebrews 12:5 through 6, it tells us that God disciplines those whom he loves. Why? Because they're in union with him. They've been united to him. This is why over five times in the ESV, in Ephesians 5, because of the finished and sufficient work of Christ, who is the head of the church, Paul says there, we can love our wives. It's actually six times in the Greek, but, you know, here's the thing. We've been given a power and love. The Holy Spirit, he changes us. He reorders our affections for himself so that we can love one another. So if you're not in on this love, I have to ask you, what are you in on? If your home isn't full of the love of God, what's stopping you? The answer is you. You as a man are to be the chief repenter in your home. You are to lead your home in a loving way that honors God, who is love. So as we just wrap up this season, I just want to challenge you. Find your delight in God. Find your delight in the God of love, who has fully shown his love in Christ, who has poured out, Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, he's poured out his love through the Son, Jesus. He's given you the Spirit to guide you, John says in the Upper Room Discourse in, in John 15-16. He tells us that he gives us the Holy Spirit to teach us and to train us in the truth. And not only does he give us a right standing with him, he gives us experiential peace, Paul says in Philippians 4. And all of this is because the grace of God abounds and abounds and abounds towards the people of God, as we saw last week. So that we can pray and we can meditate on the glories of God in Christ alone. Well, we're going to let you know some good news. Hopefully, you'll like this. We have a special guest that's going to join us next season. These won't be recorded. These aren't recorded in video, but we have a special guest, Dr. Harry Walls. He is the campus pastor of Masters University. He's an elder at Grace Community Church in Burbank, California, where Dr. John MacArthur pastors. He's going to talk with us about sexual sin and how to guard our hearts in a four-part series. And I know these messages were delivered at my local church here in California for the men's conference. And Dr. Walls and the men's pastor at my church have so graciously said, yes, you can use these. These are convicting messages. They're going to challenge you in so many ways. And I'm excited to hear about that. And I know Dr. Walls is as well. So I hope that you'll enjoy the next season. We'll be back. I'll be back in season 4. And I'm just praying, guys, that we'll just keep growing and loving the Lord and in loving our spouse and our families.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.